20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Josh Zirkel with Steve Perhatch and Trevor Jossert. You know, it's been a while. When you get on these, you do these things every 2 weeks, and it's just like, I feel like we're just like, we're getting to know each other again. It's bizarre. Mm-hmm. But how you doing, guys? It was an interesting game last night. Did you get a chance to enjoy that at all?
I did. It was a fun one, and we got lots to talk about. And believe it or not, that relates to kind of what the Packers are going through right now. And you guys will find out, but we're gonna relate the two. Steve, did you catch the game?
I did catch the game. It's the NFL of the future. It's exciting. It's fun. They don't care about defense, which, you know, they put up points, which I had a blast. I don't quite get the people that are complaining about the fact that they scored a lot of points. Like, I thought it was really exciting, really cool. But yeah, doing good. It's almost Christmas time here. Just put up the Christmas tree today. So yeah, exciting times.
We have two trees because I refused to throw out my tree from my college days. Well, I wasn't in college, but like right after college. Well, my girlfriend and I were still together. I went through it. It was like a $16 tree from Walmart, and I refused to throw it out. So the kids get to decorate that tree, and then we have the main tree sort of in the foyer. But we did that too. I figure like anything during the week of Thanksgiving is fine. Trev, is your tree up?
It is. I was just going to say, do we all have our trees up? Four trees for three of us? Our four trees up right now?
That's pretty good.
Oh, I like it. That's some solid dedication right there.
Mine was up a couple weeks ago, not going to lie. But... Tis the season, right?
A couple of weeks?
Yeah.
At least after Halloween, tell me. It was after Halloween.
Yes, it was after Halloween, and okay, I will say it was not my idea, but it is up. I didn't stop it, and that's my fault.
Everybody who's listening to this podcast understands what you're talking about.
Right, yeah. And that's not exactly a hill you want to die on either. Like, you could go into the stores and, like, they've got Christmas stuff out on, like, July 31st, mm-hmm. and that's one thing. But, like, when it happens in your house... And you have to say no, and you've got to, like, put your body in the line of fire to stop it. Yeah, that's right. Yes, dear. But, you know, not a lot of smiling and nodding happening right now in the wake of a terrible loss. And we're not really – look, the loss was almost a week ago now, but Mike McCarthy being on the hot seat – having his job in jeopardy, I feel like is something that's going to cloud and loom over this team for the rest of the season. And one thing we haven't seen on the other Pack-A-Day podcast was a discussion about the analytics of the fourth down decision. And we could talk about the challenge till we're blue in the face. You know, you do not accumulate monthly interest. There's no compounding for timeouts. So I don't know why you decide to save those necessarily. Especially as we saw Sean McVay burn a timeout in that Monday night game in a similar situation. But to the numbers, this is from Packers Wire. I think this is Brian Jones that wrote this up. In the Thursday night game, the Packers, talking about the 4th-and-2, obviously, the Packers' chance of winning after punting was 21%. Converting on 4th-and-2 would have increased their winning chances to 38%. So almost doubling that. And they had a 60% chance of converting that 4th-and-2. And with Aaron Rodgers, and look, he was not playing well. Let's be clear on that. But who are you going to have win the game, Steve? Are you going to have Aaron Rodgers win the game? Or your defense, which granted played very well, but historically has been, over the course of the season, not been your strongest suit? I mean, I know you would make the right decision on this.
Obviously, anybody who's played Madden football knows the right decision to make. No, it was very frustrating. Like, McCarthy came out and said he wanted to play the numbers. Well, you just gave us the numbers. His numbers were wrong. It's very frustrating. When you compare and contrast to what we saw last night, it feels like McCarthy feels that he's still a highly successful coach, but he still thinks it's 2014. He thinks that's the year it is because everybody has moved on to something new and understanding the analytics of it all. And he's still holding out hope that he's doing the right thing. And I mean, the defense, they played well in Seattle. There were spurts where they did well, but it wasn't the rush defense. The rush defense was being gouged. I think it was like 5.5 yards a carry.
Wow.
You can't think that, you know what they're going to do. They're going to run the ball. And if you just play the odds again, playing the numbers, two rushes equals 11 yards. So it's not playing the numbers. It's just getting your head out of your own ass and figuring out that you're not making the smartest calls in the world.
Yeah, I'm not sure what numbers, and I'm making air quotes, he was looking at, because like you said, Josh just gave us the numbers, and I just look at it. The defense was playing well, but was it, what is it? Kenny Clark was hurt, and there's one other person that was hurt that just got hurt.
Daniel.
So you have, what was it, 4th and 2? I forget the yard line it was on, but even if you don't get it, you know what the Seahawks are going to do. They're going to run. It's not like you're worried about them scoring another touchdown. Worst case scenario, you stop them and they kick a field goal, and now you get the ball back. So I don't get it. I'm also bothered still, and I don't, maybe we can touch on this a bit too, but what is up with the Packers and wasting timeouts? I'm not emotionally invested like a lot of our listeners are and a lot of the people on this show. So I'm not watching every snap. I'm not paying attention to every little detail, but it seems like if I'm turning on the game and it's a close game at the end, the Packers have the ball with a minute left and they have 0 or 1 timeouts always. And I don't know, is that's a McCarthy thing, right? That's another thing that's putting him deep into a hole late in the game.
Well, there's some debate about that, whether it's McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers, because correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, like Rodgers is getting the team lined up.
Yeah.
And it's in Seattle. Let's not lose sight of that. But he's getting them lined up, and then it's 2 seconds, 1 second, and then you hear the timeout coming from the sideline, mm-hmm. and you see the sad unsnapping of the chin strap, and Rodgers looking over like a 9-year-old who's getting embarrassed by his friends, by his mom picking him up from school. So I think it goes both ways. In this particular game, I think there's plenty of blame to go around, Steve.
Well, let's not pretend that this is just the first time that this has happened. This has been happening for years, and it frustrates the hell out of Packers fans because they sit there and they watch Rodgers run the clock all the way down. And I get it. He's a very, very smart quarterback, very heady, and he wants as much of the information that he can get before he snaps a ball.
Right.
But at some point, when you've been doing that for a year and a half, everybody knows it. And that's why they can get really, really good pass rushes against the Packers' offensive line, is because they know they can wait until the clock hits 1, and then I go. Like, I don't have to pretend anymore. Like, I'm trying to guess. Like, I know when it's going to happen. So, for me, I think it's on the coaching, actually. I think it's on McCarthy, because as we talked about analytics before, you have to understand the difference between 5-yard penalties and timeouts. There is a staggering difference, and the 5 yards can be made up much easier than the loss of the timeout, which you're never getting back. So for me, it's up to McCarthy to be like, Aaron, take the 5 yards. You can throw it. We can get that back. I'm not getting back that timeout, which cost them in the end because he didn't want to throw the challenge flag in Seattle immaculate reception number 17 that happened in Seattle.
Every reception like that is the immaculate reception. But with McCarthy now, and forget about now, because he's officially a hot seat coach, maybe even a lame duck to some extent. He's not coming back next year. Rodgers was just extended. He was extended at the beginning of the year. Did that have any play in the relationship between Rodgers said, well, I'm going to do what I want, and McCarthy coming back and saying, well, no, you can't, because we kind of have to get the playoff on time. Do you think that affected anything in the balance of power between coach and quarterback?
What are you insinuating, that Rodgers doesn't care as much, or he's just more laid back?
I'm asking, do you think that he is doing his own thing now? Like, this is the way he wants to run the offense. This is the way he wants to approach pre-snap, and McCarthy's been trying to rein him in potentially, and it either hasn't been working or he's just taking totally hands off.
That's a good question. I kind of see it another way, as Rodgers, we all like to rip on McCarthy for keeping the same kind of plays and not giving the running backs as much touches and stuff like that. And what I see it as, that Rodgers is someone who needs the ball in his hand, likes the ball in his hand, likes to make the big play. We talk about that. I think it was third down when he got sacked, and he had someone in the flat wide open. I forget who it was. For that,
Aaron Jones.
Yeah, he could have just dumped it right down, but instead he rolled out to try to make a play downfield. That could be kind of what you're insinuating here, but at the same time, I think that McCarthy is trying to do what Rodgers wants, and there's no like conflicting theories, I guess. You know, I think McCarthy wants to put the ball in Rodgers' hands because Rodgers wants the ball in his hands.
You agree with that, Steve?
Yeah, I think for me, I think it's just too much. They've had too much of each other. I think they've stopped listening to each other as much as they used to when they were really successful. Like, I think Aaron gets frustrated on the field when he thinks that Mike is trying to have too much control. Like, I've got this. And I think McCarthy probably thinks he has a quarterback who sometimes can be a pompous ass. I mean, you think about it, like, Rodgers has thrown McCarthy under the bus numerous times. That has to be unbelievably infuriating as a highly successful head coach, and your quarterback is talking about how your game plan sucks. And
the subtle shade. Like, I love it.
Oh my God. And then there's McCarthy. He won't do it. Like, you see him. He is above all of that. Like, I think the only time McCarthy's ever thrown shade at somebody is when he called Eddie Lacy fat. And
yeah,
I mean, that was like their last ditch effort. Like, Eddie, come on, man. Like, I have to say this out loud, that you're really, really, come on. And so McCarthy won't do it, but I think it feels like they've just had about enough of each other. And it's like that breakup of like a power couple almost, of like, well,
yeah,
who's going to be the one here that breaks us up? Because, you know, I don't want to look like the bad guy, but you're the one who's really screwing this up for us.
I saw an interesting poll on Twitter, and I think it was by one of our colleagues, about as a fan, would you be okay? Actually, would you be rooting for the Packers to lose out, do as bad as they possibly can the rest of the season to guarantee that Mike McCarthy gets fired? Or you want to see them run the table, make the playoffs, maybe surprise someone in the playoffs, who knows? But then that saves McCarthy's job. And I want to hear your answers on what you guys want as fans. But as a collective unit, it seems like the fan base is okay with just taking the season off, I guess, to finish the year and starting over with someone new next year.
I don't know if they're okay. I think it's hopeless. I think it's hopeless. I think Aaron Rodgers, the narrative has been all year that Aaron Rodgers has to save this team. And he had a chance to save the team on Thursday, and he couldn't do it. And I think everybody just feels like that this is not going to be a championship team with Mike McCarthy. And if it takes a season for Mike McCarthy to run himself out of a job, I think, 60% of the fans in that poll said that would be okay. I think if they ran off a few wins here, I think everybody would forget about it. I think if Kyle Fackrell continues to play as well as he has, as well as he did in that Thursday night game, I think everybody will get over McCarthy. But I think the way it is right now, Steve, is just a general sense of hopelessness, and that McCarthy's ouster is going to be the only thing that gets the team back on track.
This is my fear as a Packers fan. What's going to happen is they are going to fall short of the playoffs, but they're going to win just up until that point. So they will be cut. They'll go like 8-7-1, and they will lose. They won't get into the wild card. They will lose. Their draft position will get worse, but there's enough hope that McCarthy stays just a little bit. Cause I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I've kind of walked that back a little bit. I thought that if if they don't get to the playoffs, it comes down to Mark Murphy making that call. And that's not an easy call to make. Like, this whole relationship has worked for a long time with him and McCarthy. And I feel like they have to kind of look at it and be like, Mike can go in there and be like, look at the roster that Ted gave me the last 3-4 years. We made it work with Rodgers. At some level, like, if he is not playing at the 120% quarterback that he normally is,
right,
this team sucks. They are devoid of big playmakers. Like, you watch the game Monday night, yesterday, you watch that game, playmakers everywhere,
stacked.
The Packers don't have that. They have a good running back. They have a great number one wide receiver. They have a great quarterback. They have a couple of up-and-coming maybe cornerbacks right now, a decent linebacker, a couple guys on the line. Nobody I would sit there and tell you is an unbelievable playmaker.
No.
So, I mean, you see that argument from McCarthy? Like, if you give me a roster, we can make this work. So I'm not, you know, it scares me because that's the way I think it's going to play out. I think they will not make the playoffs. I think they will win too many games for my liking. And then I think their draft stock gets hurt. And I'd rather see them go 6-9-1. If that math works. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'd rather see them go 6-9-1.
That equals 16. You got it.
Yeah.
I maintain that, you know, they're going to finish 7-7-2. I'm standing by that prediction. I'm sure that tie is going to roll in any day now. But we were talking earlier, you know, if McCarthy does go at the end of the year, who would we like to see? And Steve, you posed an interesting question on Twitter earlier today. I'll let you set that up.
Yeah, I mean, it was more of a joke, but it kind of got a little bit of run. So it was, what would it take as a Packer fan? What would you give up in order to get Sean McVay as your head coach? So I kind of posed it as a joke of, hey, Rams, Packers are offering you 2 first-round draft picks for Sean McVay. Just say yes. Just say yes right now. It's okay. Just say yes. And I actually got a couple of responses, and, you know, a couple of people were starting to – yeah, like a couple of people asked if, you know, hit some of the big guys and were like, hey, you know, I know he was joking, but Gruden was traded. Belichick back in the day was kind of traded.
Like,
is that something that could be legitimately happening? And, I mean, we've talked and – we said, no way. Even if it's 2 first-round picks, if I'm the Rams, I'm hanging up the phone. I'm not giving up Sean McVay. Like, this dude is a genius, and I want him around my team as long as humanly possible.
Trev, you got anything on 2 first-round picks? What about 3 first-round picks for Sean McVay? You going to bite on that?
Looks like we're having some technical difficulties with Trevor. But yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, 2 first-round picks. So that's
what did they get for Gruden? Do you remember? It was
that was just a 1st-round pick.
Yeah, it was a 1st-round pick, and I think a couple of sweaty rolls of 20s and a ham sandwich. But it was
well, that's a visual for you.
Well, you know, I mean, it's the Raiders. It's Al Davis Raiders. That's probably more accurate than any of us realize. Look, yeah, I agree with you on Sean McVay. But what about a guy like Josh McDaniels? You know, where McDaniels, you're not going to have to get draft picks. You're going to have to pay him. And he's obviously going to want some sort of autonomy with the roster, which I don't think Brian Gutekunst is going to be totally in favor of. He's going to hate that. But what is it going to take to get that hot hire in? Because if I remember correctly, McCarthy was coming off of a stint as offensive coordinator for the Niners of like one of the worst offensive performances in NFL history. So what will it take to get a hot hire into Green Bay?
See, I don't think it's not a hard sell. I mean, number one, you've got Aaron Rodgers. So somebody's going to want to be there. They've got Devontae Adams. They've got Aaron Jones. So I think it's a desirable job, especially when you consider the fact that they've got 2 first-round picks. They've got a second, a third, 2 fourth-round picks. With that trade for HaHa, they've got a considerable amount of cap space coming this year. So Goody's shown he's not afraid to spend that money on free agents. True. So I think it's a really desirable job. It's almost kind of comparable for me what I would say to the Bucks from the NBA for this year. There actually came, I think Doc Rivers was the one who came out and said, you know, there were multiple openings in the NBA for head coaching positions. He said, but there was one opening. Everybody wanted to go to Milwaukee. Everybody wanted to coach Giannis. So, I mean, I think that's a very fair, comparable thing. Like, there's going to be openings. There's going to be head coaching positions in the NFL. And if the Packers do decide to move on from McCarthy, I think this is top tier, the job that everybody would want to go after.
Two concerns. Number one, expectations. Whoever comes in is going to be expected to not only make the playoffs, but also win a playoff game. That is a tall order, even with Aaron Rodgers, especially with a young roster. And number two, that new guy is going to have to wear a parka probably 5 or 6 games out of the season. What fun is that? Yeah, you get the you get the dome games in Minnesota and Detroit, but come on, brother.
Okay, number one, if a coach comes in and is worried about winning playoff games, I don't want him here. I don't want him here. If he's afraid that he can't win the playoff game, no, then you're just not here. And number two, if you're afraid of the cold, again, also don't want you here. I mean, Tom Coughlin was wearing sheets of red on his face in Green Bay. So, I mean, come on, anybody, you can handle it. If you're smart and you layer and you wear gloves and you wear a hat, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
You get the base layer, and then you get like the shirt, the tight shirt, and then you get the loose shirt, and then you get the pullover on top of that, and then you get the part. I mean, that's like 5 layers, but you're set. Like, if anything happens, you could just, you know, you just take something off. It's not that
hard. You know what I want, actually, is I want the head coach almost like that is wearing a suit and is wearing like a little hat and everything like that. Yes, a fedora. I want the fedora. I want the old school coach who is just wearing wearing a nice dress code over it.
And trench coat. Those are sharp.
Yeah, exactly. I want a 1940s coach.
You basically want to dig up Vince Lombardi and stick him back on the sideline.
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Okay.
If we can do it, let's make it happen.
As long as we understand what you're really pining for here. Well, we're getting out of here on a fun note, but obviously more questions than answers for the pack at this point. Steve, I thank you. It's been fun. Trevor, I thank you. I am Josh. We will have another show for you tomorrow. Steve, Trevor, and I will be back with you in 2 weeks. Until then, we will see you on the internet. Go, Pack, go.
Shotgun formation of 3rd and 15 to the 46-yard line of Dallas. They empty the shotgun. Cobb in motion to the left side. Rodgers looks it over, gets the snap. Backpedals now under some pressure. Steps up, throws it over the middle. Good, Adams! 30, turns upfield, 25, cutting right to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Devontae Adams to the south end zone for the touchdown. Rodgers looks it over, starts to his left. Starts to the right side. Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up. Rainbows it high and deep into the end zone. It's high pointed and caught. It is caught for a touchdown.
Yes!
A miracle. Yes! Pass
yes! Yes!
In the end zone.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable. One kick away from the NFC Championship game. From the 41. Left hash mark. 51 yards. Attempt, snap, placement, kick to the uprights, and it is right down the middle. It is good, and the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
And what a happy bunch of Green Bay Packers.